All right, I need 3 volunteers. And before you volunteer, I need 3 volunteers that like coffee. And I need 3 volunteers that like their coffee black. Okay, I'm down to 1, 2, 3 volunteers that like their coffee black. Maybe, well, if it's someone other than my wife, it might be a good thing as well. And hopefully I don't catch anything on fire. So I saw Dwight, Gary, and let's go, Marlene, or Deanna? Marvin, okay. Let's go with those 3. Now you stay in your seat for now. Actually, you can stay in your seat the whole time. Some of you know... I know no other way to make it, Gary. Some of you know that I have a bit of a hobby. And my hobby involves my love for coffee. Now, I don't just like any coffee. I like really good coffee. I like gourmet coffee. I like the good stuff. So you can keep your Folgers. I'll take this stuff. Now, my brother calls me a coffee snob. It's okay. I understand. That's an adequate and appropriate terminology for what I am and what I like. But I've developed this taste for good coffee over the last couple of years. And it kind of progresses. You know, it starts with, I can take or leave the cheaper stuff. And then you start buying your own coffee beans at a coffee shop and you bring them home. And then you start grinding your own coffee beans because, well, it's fresher when you grind it right before you brew. And then you start experimenting. I started experimenting with different types of coffee makers. You started using the cone-shaped coffee filters. You start using the French press coffee makers. And some of you know the next step for me was to go towards roasting my own coffee beans. This is a hobby of mine. I buy coffee beans green and roast them so that they are always fresh, made within a week of the time that they are roasted. I then progress to this lovely coffee maker that you see in front of you. This is called the Chemex. It is a beautiful piece of artistic and functional. Actually, I don't know what to call it. It just is. So it's a carafe, okay. It's actually developed and designed by chemists who wanted to make the best cup of coffee possible. So in my house, each morning of the week, we maybe don't have the best cup of coffee in Stanton, but I can pretty well guarantee that we have the freshest. Now, you can also pretty well guarantee that I'm not going to be as smooth today as I sometimes am because I have already left my notes, my Bible, and my mouse at the pew. But if I keep talking like nothing's happening, you won't know any different. So this is my coffee maker. This is my routine. We go through this process each and every day in my house to enjoy the best possible coffee that we can have in our home. Now today we are going to talk about the scriptures that Sonia read to us, but I think I'm going to take a little different approach than what you've heard in the past. Because today I'm not going to look at these scriptures from the traditional perspective, but I'm going to look at them as views into the grace of God. And grace is a very difficult word to understand. It's a very difficult concept to pin down because grace is much bigger than that one little word. Grace is a very complicated and complex idea. We might think of an ice skater or a figure skater that is out there performing, and we might say that that person is extremely graceful or they move with grace. Before we eat a meal, we might bow our heads, hold hands around the table, and we say grace before we eat. Now we typically understand grace as a gift from God, a gift that we do not earn, and we traditionally assume that that is referring to the forgiveness that God gives to us through Jesus. And grace is indeed that. But grace is also so much more. Like I began to tell you there, grace is a little word with a big, big meaning. And this is taking a little bit longer than I expected it would, So you'll have to give me a little grace as I finish my presentation. Well, while that continues to filter through, we're going to look at our passage from 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in this passage, this seems like a strange passage to talk about when you're talking about grace. It's a historical event that's taking place in this passage where King David is sitting in his palace and he's got it real good. It's made of cedar. That's emphasized by the passage. Cedar must be a good building material, especially in those days. And he's talking about sitting in this house of cedar while the ark of God sits out in a tent. And he says this in our passage for today. He says, "Here I am, living in the house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." So David has this revelation. Why do I have it so good when my God is out there in a tent? He's roughing it. He's cold. He's wet. He's not enjoying the nice things of life like I am. So David has an idea. He says, "I am going to build a house for God." And David, at least he thinks about running it by someone else. And this is always a good idea whenever you're making a large move or a large change in your life to run it by somebody else. So David calls in the prophet Nathan and he tells Nathan what he's planning on doing. And Nathan says, "Yeah, do it. Build a house for God. This is a great idea." But Nathan didn't run it by God first. Well, whenever Nathan finally does have a little conversation with God at God's initiative, God says, "You know what, Nathan? I have been out in the wilderness, living in a tent, ever since I brought your people out of Egypt. I have not had a home to dwell in throughout all of eternity. So what makes you think that I need a house of brick and mortar now?" God says, "I'm less interested in house building than I am in kingdom building." So he says, "Go and tell David that that's not a part of my plan. That's not what I want him to do." The coffee's ready. So the prophet Nathan goes to David and he explains all of this to him. He explains that God doesn't want this brick and mortar house, but God simply wants to be with his people. Now, God seems to recognize within David that the reason that David wants to do this is because David is insecure. He recognizes this and he talks about David's history. He talks about David's past. He talks about where David came from. And he tells David, "I was with you when you were nothing but a little shepherd boy out in the wilderness outside of the little town of Bethlehem. I have been with you since that time when you could offer me absolutely nothing, when you could give me nothing but your love and your adoration and your songs. Why, David, are you afraid that I'm going to leave you now? You do not need to build a house for me to remain in your presence. I am not going anywhere." God is reassuring David that God will be there forever with his people. And he tells this to David. He says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." That, my friends, is grace. Now, careful. It's hot. I should have held it the other way. Thank you. It's strong. It's black. Smells good. Now, the thing about grace is, as difficult of a concept as it is to nail down, we often know grace when we see it. We see the grace that God extended to this little shepherd boy, David, and we recognize it as such. And those of you that just received a cup of the freshest coffee in the city of Stanton should also recognize that that is a gift of grace. That coffee was roasted 24 hours ago, yesterday morning, at my house. The freshest cup of coffee in Stanton. If you don't like it, tell me you like it anyways as your gift of grace back to me. So we move into the New Testament. And we have the angel Gabriel, this messenger of the Lord, coming to the Virgin Mary. And the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she is going to be the bearer of the lineage to that throne of King David. That throne that God promised David would be established for all of eternity. This angel was telling Mary, your child will be the heir of that throne. Now, Mary's a little confused by this because, you know, first of all, she hasn't done the things that need to be done to make a baby. So, doesn't really work that way. She's not married. She's just nobody. She's living in the city of Nazareth. And Nazareth is a really little podunk town. Nobody lives in Nazareth. Nobody important anyways. And as we read elsewhere in the New Testament, people say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So the angel Gabriel comes before Mary, and when she hears this good news that her son is going to be king, she isn't celebrating like, woohoo, my ship has come in, my time has arrived, I won't have to do another bit of housework the rest of my life, I won't have to cook, I won't have to clean, I won't have to worry about what I'll wear or what I'll eat or what I'll drink. The biggest thing in her mind is, it doesn't work like that. I can't be the mother of the heir of the throne. I can't be a mother at all. Well, Gabriel explains to Mary that God doesn't necessarily work in the same ways that people work. And as an example of this, he points to her cousin Elizabeth and says, even in her old age, Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Mary breaks out into a song. And she celebrates that God has chosen her, an unwed virgin from the little city of Nazareth, Nazareth of all places, to bear the Son of God. That is grace. Grace is something that is hard to define, but we recognize it when we see it. Now, I want to spend some time here with the rest of our time this morning looking at stories of grace. Maybe not traditional stories of grace, but stories that I see, I can recognize God's grace working through these stories. Now, I don't want us to overthink the theology behind it. This is not going to be one of those sermons where I exegete the passage thoroughly and we look at all the theologies and the ologies and the isms and all those Greek words and try to parse the verb to get the very nuances of what Jesus is trying to tell us in a certain passage. That's not this kind of passage. That's not this kind of sermon. We're just going to hear stories of grace so we can better appreciate the grace that surrounds us. Now, some of you know that if you invite me to do something on a Saturday evening, I often will kind of be a little reluctant. I sometimes turn down invitations to do things Saturday evening. And I often tell people it's because I'm trying to prepare for Sunday morning worship, right? I've got a job to do come Sunday. But the real reason that I don't like to do things Saturday evening is because I'm a big fan of A Prairie Home Companion. And I don't like to miss it. It's on every Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you've heard this, you know the show if you've heard it before. It's a variety radio show where the host, Garrison Keillor, he has all of these musical guests that come on. And they tell stories and they have actors that act on the radio. And they act out different scenarios. It's fun to listen to and I enjoy it a lot. And of course, the highlight of every show is towards the end when Garrison Keillor gives the news from his fictitious hometown of Lake Wobegon. Well, today I'm going to give you the news from my real-life hometown of Sterling, Ohio. So it's been an exciting couple of weeks in my hometown of Sterling, Ohio. A lot of exciting things happening in this small rural town. I went to a high school known as Norwayne High School. Norwayne is situated in northern Wayne County. So that's real creative in their development of the name, right? Norwayne, northern Wayne County. It's a very agricultural area, a lot of farms in that area. And we're such a small community that the school, I graduated with 109 people. The school is made up of three different cities that have consolidated to have this one school system. So it's really quite rural. And my high school is known for things like their agricultural programs and their industrial arts programs. And they're also known for athletics, although not for the good reason for athletics. The Norwegian Bobcats are known for their perennial futility in the field of athletics. That means we're not good. I didn't play football in high school, but my senior year, I believe the football team won one game. That's not good. I think you play like 10 games in high school, so their record would have been like 1-9. Again, that's not a good thing. We even lost to Rittman my senior year. And I know that means nothing to you, but just by the way I say it, we lost to Rittman. I think that's the only victory Rittman had in the decade. So just to throw that out there, my high school football team, it was not good. But over the last couple of years, the team has been getting continuously better. And about 4 years ago, there was this crop of freshmen that came into the program, and they were just really highly athletic, highly gifted individuals. And that year, 4 years ago, they won the county championship for the first time in, I think, 40-some years. There had only been one other time that my high school had won county, and we're not talking about a real competitive county league. They won the WCAL, the Wayne County Athletic League Championship, about 4 years ago. And that meant that they could go to the state tournament. Now, they lost that first round game, but it was the first time that my high school had ever gone to state. So just going was a blessing to them. It was something to be excited about. Norway High School is going to state. Now, each year since that year has passed, these kids have gotten progressively better and better. And this year, the complete opposite of the record when I was in high school, they were 9-1. They lost one game, and they still won county. So that meant that they could go to the state tournament once again. But unlike what happened 4 years before, this time they won that first round game. And then they played the Orville Red Riders, the big team in town. And Orville, everybody assumed, would just dominate. But when that final whistle blew, Norwegian was victorious. They won their second round game, and then their third. And then they went to the semifinals of state, and they won that game too. So now Norwegian High School, this little town, little team out in the middle of the country, the middle of nowhere, and seriously, between those three cities, if we add up all the stoplights, you come to zero. And I still make fun of where my wife came from because it was a small town. Little Norwegian High School will be playing the perennial All-Stars from Kenton, the Kenton Wildcats. So you knew the Cats were going to win. It was the Bobcats versus the Wildcats. The Kenton Wildcats, they were, every year it seems like these guys were competing for the state championship. They were always playing at a higher level than everyone around them. But this year, their star quarterback set all sorts of kinds of records for their division, for all of Ohio football. He signed a letter of intent to play Division I football at Missouri next year. He'll be playing in the big time, you know, not professional, but he'll be playing major college football next year. Before the game, he was named Mr. Ohio in football, which means that he was voted the best player in all of Ohio in that sport. So it was little bitty Norwegian High School against Kenton, the perennial state champions. Now everybody knew it was going to be a shootout. Everybody knew it would go back and forth, back and forth. It would be a high scoring game. And indeed, it did not disappoint. The last 7 minutes of the game, there were 5 touchdowns scored back and forth. Not a lot of defense played in these games. The quarterback on the other team did not disappoint. He would bomb. He had a couple 50-yard touchdown passes. Just amazing. Now, I wish that I could tell you today that Norwegian High School, my alma mater, had won the state championship. So I will. Norwegian High School, state champions, 48-42, the state champions. This little school in rural Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. Look at those guys. Just little kids. state champions. The coach is a big kid, and he was loving it. That's grace. David came from nowhere. David was a farm boy, just like these guys. And David's throne was established forever, just like the Norway Bobcats will be established forever in the record books. Now, just down the road from Norway High School, you'll find the city of Worcester, Ohio. And if you're not from Ohio, you won't say Worcester correctly. You would say Worcester. Worcester, Ohio is the home of things like Rubbermaid. It used to be the home of Rubbermaid before they went south. But so it's a Worcester brush. You're familiar with Worcester brush? Paint brushes? No? Okay, well, it's big compared to Norway anyway. Worcester is a good-sized city, and there's a school district in Worcester known as Triway. Triway would be kind of like Stanton City Schools, and Norway would be more like Fort Defiance or Buffalo Gap. So Triway would be in the city, whereas my school was out in the county. And nobody else does it like Virginia, the city and county schools? No. So this Triway High School, there was a guy who was 1 year behind me. And his name, I'll show you his picture. You might know his name. It's a dark picture. His name is Josh Krajic. Josh Krajic is a 30-year-old burrito maker with a weight problem, a skin issue, and he's anything but clean cut. It's like looking in the mirror. Josh Krajic graduated from Triway High School, and he, like I said, he's making burritos now for a living, living in Columbus, Ohio, a couple hours south of where he and I both grew up. Now, Josh Krajic is somewhat famous, evidently not too famous because I don't think any of you recognize who he is, but he's somewhat famous because he's on a television show right now known as The X Factor. And I don't watch television much, so I've never seen the show, but X Factor is a lot like American Idol. In fact, it's Simon Cowell is one of the judges, Paula Abdul. So they have a panel, people come, they perform, they get critiqued, people vote them through to the next round. And the person who wins X Factor gets a $5 million recording contract. So this guy, Josh Krajic, he steps out that first day of auditions. And if you've ever seen American Idol or X Factor, you know a lot of times people come and they're not, how should we say, good. They are usually almost comical in how bad they are. And this guy, Josh Krajic, steps out, and he's wearing this frumpy jacket. And he's got this V-neck T-shirt under the jacket, and his chest hair is just hanging out. It looks kind of unkempt, and including his beard. He's been trimmed in that picture. His beard was just everywhere. It's not shaped at all. And he comes before the panel, and they ask him a few questions. And, you know, rather than telling you the story, I'm going to switch to a YouTube player, and I'll just show you what happens. I'll give a little commentary as we go. That's Josh's mom.
Do you have a day job?
I do. I sling burritos.
Sling burritos. Sling them.
I love it.
Burritos. Can you hit the lights if anybody?
What are you singing for us today, Josh?
At last, Etta James.
Really?
Did you see that?
Okay.
What are you singing? At Last by Etta James. And Simon's like, really? And the big guys up there getting loose. His mom's excited. Frumpy guy wearing a jacket. Not clean cut. Look at the guy. Does he look like a performer? Turn it up, Lord.
You know my love is coming on. Yes, my lonely days are over. And nothing like a song. Wrapped up. and clover. But now that I look at you, and now here we are in heaven, and you are mine at last. Oh, oh, oh.
The best part, second. Oh yeah, Mom's loving it.
Thank you.
I've got to say, Josh, you know, I always thought after a few auditions over the years, I wouldn't be surprised again. And then you started singing, and it just blew me away.
I never thought I would be surprised again, and you just blew me away. You could have the lights back up. This frumpy, chubby, scruffy, bad-skinned guy had that in him, and that was his worst performance yet. And I still get chills when I think about this guy. His sister actually went to school with one of my cousins. He came from where I came from. That's grace. Like Mary, this unwed virgin from a little podunk town known as Nazareth, harbored within her body the very gift for all of the world that we know as Jesus, this guy has within him the ability to bring some of us to tears. That is grace. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Grace is a small word, but it's a really, really big concept. It is indeed an undeserved gift. It is indeed the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us on the cross. But grace is so much more than that. My desire for each and every one of us this Christmas is that we be more open to understanding the grace that is around us, the grace that surrounds us each and every day. And may we be not only the recipients of that grace, but may we also be the extenders of that grace. And today, as you leave this place, I have a gift for all of you. Because in this basket, and maybe we should get some feedback, was the coffee okay? Coffee was good. 2 out of 3, I'm getting a gladiator kind of response. So, okay. Not everybody's going to like the fine gourmet. Nope, not strong enough. Okay. On your way out today, you too can have enough for a 12-cup coffee maker full of your own freshly roasted Kevin's special blend of coffee. I'll set this basket by the door, and on your way out the door, oh, come on now. There are several bags of coffee that is already ground for those that don't have a coffee grinder, and there are some that are whole bean for those of you who are aspiring coffee snobs such as myself. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll invite Sonia up for our sharing time. God, you have lifted up the lowly. You have given a voice to those who are silent. You have moved within our communities and within our hearts, and you have called us to be recipients and extenders of the grace that you have shown to us. May we expand our understanding of what that grace is and how you are calling us to share that grace with others. For God, you did not fear dwelling within the womb of a virgin. You will not fear dwelling within our lives as well. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.